The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Riverfront. This is episode number 494 of the world's most dangerous podcast, where we discuss the Cincinnati Reds and occasionally Rail Mado. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me this week, you can see him here every week, your friend and mine, Nate Dotson. Nate, how are you, my friend?
Gentlemen, I am having a lovely week so far, Reds news aside. But it's exciting to be here on Thursday night talking ball with a couple titans of industry such as yourselves. What better time to be alive? Let's go.
Nate's going to allude to the fact that we're old all night long. Also with us, the Podfather, back again, Bill Lack. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing Reds news and having to watch the Reds, life is great.
Yeah, well. Are we contractually obligated to talk about the Reds on this show? I know I say that in the intro every week, but do we really have to? I mean, we can zig or zag any time, right?
Well, as long as we don't talk about movies.
Not with you. That's a fact.
Yeah, you can talk about soccer.
We can talk about soccer. Bill likes soccer.
We can talk about the women's national team.
No, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Harry Kane leaving Tottenham Hotspur today. I'm not going to talk about any of that. We're going to talk about the Reds. Unless, Nate, you have a different idea.
That sounds like a made-up name.
We're going to talk about the Reds. We're going to have a good time doing it. I'm not sure how, but we're going to. But there's some things we can get excited about, and we hope that the audience can as well.
Absolutely. Before we get into it, I want to ask everyone, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, smash that subscribe button. And if you're listening to the audio version, why not subscribe? Have my dulcet tones delivered to your phone every single week. We are everywhere you find podcasts. Nate, anything we need to talk about before we get into the news this week? Just anything at all.
There's a little something. And, I haven't been to Great American Ballpark in some time, and I don't think you have either.
I've been boycotting them since 2019. Bill goes, but not
no, us. I haven't been in 2 years.
Well, man. I'm thrilled to finally announce that is going to change, and it's changing very soon. The Riverfront is going to be doing a live show on Saturday, September the 9th. This bad boy is happening at the Stretch over on the Banks. We're shooting at 4 p.m. right now. Lots more details coming. We're going to have a nice lineup for you guys. Chad is breaking his ban. We will be going to games probably before and after that one, and we hope everybody can join. Be on the lookout for a lot more details to come. Shouts to the folks at the Stretch for hosting us. And, we are so pumped to get together, watch Joey Votto, watch the fellas out there playing the game we love and the team we love, and we hope as many of y'all as possible can join us.
Yeah, kudos to Bill for helping hook us up over there at Stretch. It's going to be exciting. Like Nate said, not just are we going to be there doing a live show right now, tentatively scheduled for 4 o'clock on Saturday, September the 9th, but also that will be episode number 500 of the world's most dangerous podcast. So it's going to be a 500th show, live spectacular. Try to make it over there if you can. If not, it'll be available in all the usual places. But as well, if you want, if you can get to game Friday night, definitely Saturday. We're definitely going to be at the game Saturday. We'd love for as many of you to join us as possible. Yeah, I will be breaking my boycott. Not because I'm, again, I haven't been boycotting the Reds. We've gone over this many times. I've been boycotting that dumb ownership group. So, and I'm going to break it because I just have to see, and please let them both be in the lineup. I have to see Joey Votto and Ellie De La Cruz in the same lineup. So Joey Votto is what convinced me to break this. Plus, you know, 500th episode, Cincinnati, the Banks, bring it on. It's going to be a good time. Bill, are you going to, be there?
Yep, I'll be there. And
you're supposed to say that you're not going to be there. We're trying to get people to come.
Oh, well, I got to come because we're going to be at the Stretch. If you've never been there, nice place, good inside area, outside area. And I want to thank my buddy Danny Krisnewick that helped us set this up.
Yeah, no, outstanding. And it came together very nicely, and they've been so gracious. So looking forward to hammering out all the details. You know, you pay attention to our social media feeds and here on the show, we'll give you all the details. But go ahead and make your plans to be there. It is happening Saturday, September 9th.
And the one thing that I will add to that is if you're going to go, it's convenient because today's episode is brought to you by the folks over at SeatGeek, the best and easiest to use ticket platform out there. They take the confusion out of buying tickets using a 0 to 10 scoring system and a green is good, red is bad color rating system. Red is bad, kind of like the way the Reds are playing right now. So you can get the best deal possible. So whether it's going to see our beloved Red Legs at Great American, Taylor Swift in LA, or pretty much anything in between, use promo code Riverfront at checkout and receive $20 off your first offer. That is code word Riverfront, one word, for $20 off. I'm trying to get a new flair. On
yeah, and y'all need
voice.
you need to use that. I'm going to be using that. Code myself. Is that self-dealing? Can I do that? I'm going to buy my tickets for the game, at least on Saturday. And if depending on what happens with Friday, hoping to be there on Friday as well. So no excuse not to get down to the ballpark. And well, we've heard from some of you that have been using that code. It's free money. You're going to a game anyway. It's free money. So anyway, Nate, looking forward to that. Shall we talk about the Cincinnati Reds? We've avoided it long enough, I think.
I'm happy just to hop off right now and call it a day.
And that's it for today, boys and girls.
That's enough. Yeah, not a lot to talk about. The Reds are 60-57 as of today. So that's good. If you'd have told us before the season, and you can't really say that anymore, but if you'd have told us before the season, the Reds would be 60-57, that would be a good thing. We'd have been excited. They are 2.5 games out of first. They are tied for second place still with the stupid Cubbies. And what we had this week was a 6-game losing streak. Since we came back, swept by the Washington Nationals. That's just ugly. We'll dig into it just a tiny bit, but we don't want to talk about that much. And then they lost 2 of 3 to the Marlins. Did get one win there, and Brandon Williamson looked great. Graham Ashcraft looked great in his start as well. But you know, it's been a rough stretch here. Are we over? Are we done? Are we panicking? Nate, I'll throw it to you first.
Definitely not panicking, but I mean the worry's creeping in. I guess panic would come with loftier expectations. I guess you always sort of expect the worst with this team, but you know that National Series was brutal. The team just looked lifeless. I don't ever ascribe too much to the notion that teams, that they didn't have it in them today. They weren't even trying out there. No, these guys are professionals. They're trying every single day, but. The product on the field was not entertaining. It was a tough watch. But then they regrouped, come back against the Marlins, another team, very similar position, made a couple moves at the deadline, trying to latch onto one of those wild card spots, take the first game against the Marlins' best pitcher. So I'm thinking, all right, that was just a little blip on the radar. We're looking good. Here we go. And then the bullpen proceeds to vomit all over itself a couple more times, lose the rest of the series, and here we are, a half game out of the final wild card spot. So I don't have too much to say other than June was really fun. I want to get back to that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, again, just a half game out of a wild card spot though, in mid August. That's something to be said for that, but man, it's ugly right now. Bill, thoughts?
Winning's more fun than losing.
That's a good point.
Hot take.
You know, I mean, the bullpen just looks like they've hit a wall. Maybe it's a valley and not a trench. The concern for me is on the offensive side is that the strikeout rate has skyrocketed and the walk rate's dropped like crazy. And, mm-hmm. and they're not going to beat a whole lot of people, you know, without getting guys on base. Guys that, you know, some of the young guys seem like they're really struggling. Ellie's struggling. I don't know about you guys. I've had so many people I've been known to talk baseball in a saloon once in a while, you know, sitting at a bar. I've had people tell me they need to send him back to Louisville.
Get out of here.
What do we say all the time? Young players struggle.
And
I said, he's going to be fine. I had a guy yesterday telling me, actually my nephew, telling me he would rather have McClain than Ellie. And I said, I like McClain. I like McClain a lot. But their ceilings are not anywhere in the same stratosphere.
Yeah, well, their ages.
No, not even close.
But, Bill, definitely touched on something, Chet, if you don't mind. It seems like an approach issue. You know, early in the season, you know, they were taking a lot of pitches. Matt Wilkes over at Reds Content Plus had a great stat. This was a couple days old, but still, I can't imagine it's gotten better since then. In the first half, Reds hitters were better, had a better than league average walk percentage, and it's now below league average. In the first half, they had a roughly league average strikeout percentage. In the second half, it's way worse than league average. In the first half, they had a better chase percentage. Now it's worse. They had a better whiff percentage in the first half. Now it's worse. And they had a better swing percentage, which, as you may have guessed, is now also worse than league average. So there's just no way around it, man. The boys are pressing. They're pressing hard. And they're just losing the adjustment battle right now, it seems like. And they've been doing it since just before the All-Star break.
It looks to me like they're just being overly aggressive at the plate. I mean, they're just so hyped up that they've lost their selectivity at the plate, lost the eye.
Well, a couple points here. I think you're both right. First of all, I say it all the time, but I have to say it again. A team is never as good as they look at their best. They're never as bad as they look at their worst. They're somewhere in between. And I like the way I think Nate put it there, the adjustment game. You know, we talk about that with kids all the time. We had a bunch of kids come up and all perform well at once. And then the league has adjusted a little bit. So now they have to adjust back, and that's what the good players do. And I have no reason to believe any of these guys are not going to be able to adjust back. They are the team that they are. That's just it. And I don't want to get too deep into trade deadline talk here because that's done. Well, it's not going to change at this point. But it is fascinating that they just basically went off a cliff right at the same time that Nick Kroll, ownership management, refused to improve the team, basically, at the trade deadline. And, are the two connected? Well, not necessarily, but, you know, in the we talk about how much pitching they need. All right, you all have already talked about the bullpen, but they bring up a rookie to start and make his big league debut on Sunday against the Nationals, trying to avoid a sweep. And Lyon Richardson, I have no doubt. He has a live arm. He's probably okay. He's Cincinnati's 25th best prospect, okay? He started the year at Class A. He's made one start. Well, now two starts above Double A, one in Triple A, one in the majors. And so if that's not just more evidence of what we've been saying, and again, don't need to beat a dead horse here, but they needed pitching. They knew they needed pitching. And so sort of the way that I think what we have to deal with the rest of the way is just this team is what it is. And they're going to be frustrating sometimes. They are going to blow games they shouldn't blow. But, we got to hope that Hunter Green gets back and TJ Antone and Nick Lodolo and Ben Lively, right? We can have to hope they get back some of that offensive magic from before, you know, quit chasing, things like that. Is it going to happen? I don't know, but it's going to probably be a long time before I get over. I keep saying I'm not going to talk about the trade deadline, but think about what this organization told us at the trade deadline. They told us, number one, we have no interest in trying to improve the team to win this year. Okay? I mean, that's clearly what they were telling fans. We're just not going to improve the team this year. We're going to roll with what we got. So we're not going to improve the team to try to win this year, but trust us. We promise next year or sometime in the future, we're gonna try. We promise. And so we have no idea if the Reds will ever be back in this position again. So it's sort of what we always say with this management group. You're going to show us. You're going to have to prove it to us because I don't trust them. And so, but all that said, that's my little sort of semi-rant, and then I'm going to leave here and let you all finish the show because I've already exhausted my supply of words. The Reds are still in. It's August 10th. It'll be the 11th when this comes out. They're still in the thick of a playoff race. They're still within striking distance. Not even just striking distance. They're close. 2.5 games. You can't get that in one night. But they're in the midst of an actual race. It's been so rare that I just want to sort of focus on that the rest of the way. But I still have this bad taste in my mouth that they're so close and they did not even try. So anyway, that's my single tear going down my cheek. Anybody have anything else there, or can we move on?
The only thing I want to add to that is, I've listened to too many interviews and podcasts and talks with former and current players over the years, and they all say the same thing. It sends a jolt of energy through the clubhouse when your front office is making moves at the deadline, and it has the opposite effect when they don't. Now, whether or not sitting out this deadline is going to end up being the long-term correct strategy, could be. I'm open to it, and we'll know in a few years. But at least as far as the 2023 Cincinnati Reds are concerned, the energy that went through that clubhouse was not a positive one. And I think, at least on some level, we're seeing that play out right now. The good thing is those kind of things go away, and they'll get back to playing baseball the way they, way we fell in love with the first couple months of the season, I hope.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that because it can't be measured, and so I'm hesitant to say they were sapped of energy because the front office didn't do anything. But I tell you, there was a pretty stark difference between the way they looked in the week after the trade deadline and the way they looked before. Whether it was the morale dropping because of no activity, maybe if that's what it is, maybe I don't know, but it certainly looked that way on the surface, right?
But the only thing I could say to that, though, is they went into the trade deadline, and almost to a man, when they were asked about it, they didn't want to make any moves, at least off the big club. We like our team. We don't want to, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know whether that would have affected the morale at that point or not. But the other thing I've thought about, too, is, Kral got so much credit for the deals he made last year and the prospects he brought into the system. I wonder if he's also overvaluing his prospects now and doesn't want to trade any of them because he's afraid they'll go somewhere else and look good. And if he brings somebody in here and they don't pitch well, then he's going to get blasted for that. And we don't know what deals were offered, so we're kind of operating in the dark. Sure.
Definitely. Before we put a pin in this week's activity, I do want to talk about a couple of pitchers. I briefly mentioned them a moment ago. But I think we should talk about what we saw. Brandon Williamson in the only win of the week when they beat the Marlins 5-2, breaking that 6-game losing streak. Brandon Williamson was spectacular, was absolutely spectacular that day, and striking people out. And I just, I think it was 6 2/3 inning, allowed 4 base runners is all. Two of those were in the 7th inning before he was replaced, but career high 9 strikeouts, and to me, the big thing, no walks, 0 walks. And so,
I think he had a game score like 73 that night or something.
Crazy. So,
he's pitched well more often than not in the last 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. That's actually where I was going with that. Since July 1, Doug Gray has this over at Red Leg Nation. Williamson's pitched 36 2/3 innings. Allowed 26 hits, 13 runs, all of them earned, 5 homers, 35 strikeouts versus 12 walks. I mean, that's, for a 5th starter, that's more in line with what we were hoping out of him when he came to Cincinnati in that trade, and that he had some prospect hype, not like real prospect hype, but 5th starter potentially. And so I was excited to see that. Mm-hmm. Nate, you want to wax poetic about the other pitcher here for a moment?
Depends on which one we're going to talk about, but the answer is definitely yes.
Graham Ashcraft.
Man, oh man. We got to talk about my boy Graham. Is he the greatest pitcher in the history of baseball or what?
Oh, I mean, obviously. I think that's a that's a given.
Him or Koufax.
Interesting sound, both those guys. Since the Brewers series right before the All-Star break, I was looking up some stats there. Since then, only Graham Ashcraft and Brandon Williamson have been better than league average as far as starting pitchers go. So we've loved Andrew Abbott. He's done amazing things, but he's in a bit of a funk right now too. Graham has been way, way better than the league average. Just absolute legend, this guy. Has 1.94. Let me say that again. 1.94 ERA is the third best in the league since June 30th. He is telling Jazz Chisholm where he can go, calling him words that his mother would not be proud of. On the man, honestly, people don't like that. I don't care. You mess with the boy, you get the horns, buddy. Graham Ashcraft, he's back. I think it's officially, we can say he's back. ERA is overall under five again, which doesn't sound like much, but considering the disaster that was that little like six or eight stretch he had for a while there, man, so good to see him back and shoving and getting some strikeouts now. Strikeout numbers are up too, so super encouraging stuff out of Graham.
Well, and Bill, if there's something you want to say, I'll let you, but first let me just say, this is sort of a corollary to what we were talking about earlier. He's still a kid. He struggled. Some of that was injury struggle, but even after he was healthy, he was struggling. And had the league adjusted to him some, maybe so, and now he's adjusting back. And that's the game with these kids, that push and pull. So we'll see. I'm excited to have him look, because can you imagine what this team looks like if Williams and Ashcraft had not improved their performances in the last 6 weeks? I mean, it could be way worse. So one last question.
The only thing I got on Ashcraft is listening to Brantley talk about him. And I like listening to Brantley about when he's talking about pitching.
Absolutely.
It sounded like a lot of Ashcraft's problems were mental. And that was something he had to get over. And it seems like he has. He was struggling a little bit with when things went wrong, they snowballed on him. They dominoed on him. And it seems like he's gotten past that.
Mm-hmm. He does have mental problems. I think that's what we're hearing Bill say, that Graham Ashcraft has mental
problems. He's crazy.
I'm a unitard.
I don't know what we're doing here. What are we even doing here?
I don't know.
One last question here before we get it. We have a really good group of viewer mail questions that I want to get into, and a couple of pieces of news as well that we won't spend too much time on. But first, I want to ask you all this question. Can you put into words what your approach is as a fan? Bill's already, I said, can you put in a word? You're not watching on YouTube. He's already saying, no, I can't. And we know that, Bill. What is your approach as a fan going to be the rest of this season? Okay. And I kind of touched on it a minute ago that, you know, they're still close. There's still stuff. There's something to watch, still something to follow. And the way I put it this week in print was, I'm going to treat this team exactly like Nick Kroll has. Okay. I'm going to try as hard as I can to just completely ignore the flaws on this team and hope for the best. Yeah. Try to enjoy the fun stuff. And if they don't get across the finish line in the playoffs, well, okay. We know why, but I do want to enjoy these kids. And I'm genuinely excited to watch the rest of the season. And how many Augusts since we've been doing this show could we say that? I'll let either of you say, what's your approach going to be? Bill, actually, I'll go to you first, Bill.
I have been really good this year about not losing my temper while watching the ball club.
It's no fun for anybody. We want angry Bill back.
Other than when Newman hits against right-handed pitching, then I lose my shit.
I get way fewer annoyed texts from Bill these days. It's crazy.
Right now, I'm struggling when I watch him because I'm seeing way too much Newman, way too much Fairchild. I firmly believe that Newman has a picture of David Bell with a Shetland pony. But, you know, like you said, all you got to do, all you can do is enjoy what there is. You know, I watched some of this team last year when they lost 100 games. You know, we got a chance to at least break be 500 this year. You got to enjoy that. We're moving. It's moving in the right direction and in a big leap. So
I just hope it's sustainable, to use Nick Kroll's terms. Nate, any thoughts about that?
I've had an absolute blast watching this team almost every day this season. That's not going to stop if they fade away down the stretch. Still a lovable bunch of guys. I'm going to watch. I'm going to tune in for Joey, even if they fall out of contention. But I fully expect this team that has at least one more nice little run in them to stay right in the thick of things to the end. And like you said, we are a half game out of the freaking playoffs, and it's almost the middle of August. Like, we're third of the way through,
man.
Like, this team can just finish 500 the rest of the month and still be right in the thick of things. So I'm tuning in every night. I am as pumped as I've been just about any other period in the season, except for the winning streak. And I love these guys.
Well, in September, is easier, supposedly.
I heard that. So
if they can be close beginning of September, who knows?
That's what I heard in 2001, too.
I want to ask you guys a question. What are your feelings for the future on Tyler Stevenson?
You didn't tell Bill that we don't talk about this on the Riverfront? We're not ready yet. We haven't come to terms.
My feelings are that, Bill, you don't ask the questions here. Oh. You answer the questions.
Oh, you can't handle the questions.
I can't handle that question.
I think there is a conversation to be had about Tyler Stevenson. And I'm not sure, like Nate said, I'm ready to necessarily have it right now. But I will note this. He's 26 years old. Okay? He's 26 years old. And yes, it's been not good this year. It's been a step back in just about every way. But in no way am I ready to cut bait or to. Now, I wouldn't hesitate to trade him in the right trade because no one's, except for Ellie, is untouchable. But that's all I'll say is that very disappointing year so far. But he's 26. So, Nate, you have any?
His defense is just horrendous.
It is.
Yeah,
it's got to get
automatic.
Better.
Automatic balls and strikes are going to help him out.
Yeah, when he doesn't have to frame, it's something that Bill and I used to talk about. It's why they should have kept Tucker Barnhart around to teach the kid how to do that because Tucker Barnhart was so good. So
also, pitch framing is stupid. I hate pitch framing.
It really is stupid.
Let's just trick the old guy behind us, try to fool the old guy. It's national pastime.
are you talking about me again?
Are you an umpire?
Got better eyes than some of these umpires.
I'm an old guy.
Every day.
So, just briefly, news from the week. One piece of news for a guy that some of us were hoping the Reds would acquire, or should I say reacquire, at the trade deadline. There I go again. Our old friend Mikey Bisett. Michael Lorenzen, his first home start for the Philadelphia Phillies. Could not be happier for that guy. Throws a no-hitter. You know, the video of his mom just crying and, you know, and then Nick Cassiano's coming and celebrating with him. I'm telling you, I got some of the feels from our old friends, but really happy for Michael Lorenzen. Not sure we need to dive into that too deeply, but if either of you have anything quick to say about it.
I'll only say that the prospect the Phillies gave up to get him would probably be about the, 12th or 15th best prospect in the Red system. So. Shame we didn't make that deal.
Yeah. And who knows what deal was there, but if the Reds weren't willing to give up the equivalent of what the Phillies gave up, the guy was not even a top 100 prospect. I mean, he was just a run of the mill. He's like a fifth best prospect in a really bad system.
Yeah, he was he was their number five. I went through a bunch of different farm system ranking sites, and the Phillies averaged out to having the 25th best system and the Reds the fourth. So it wouldn't be a number five prospect for us.
On the other hand, you got to hug those prospects. You got to keep them close.
But mostly, good for Michael Lorenzen, man. Yes. Pump for that guy. That's awesome to leave Detroit, show up. He shoved in both games since getting to Philly, who is now in the wild card race. They are leading the wild card race. They were not in the wild card race before the deadline. Now they are leading it. Good for him. Super fun. He talked about the atmosphere there. Happy for Mikey Biceps.
Didn't I read that his family was in the stands too?
Yeah, there's a real good video out there of them because it's his first home game. It's great stuff. You should go look for it. The Reds could have had him. The Reds could have had him, but I like the guy, and couldn't be happier for him. And what a year for him! You know, he makes his first All-Star team. That was a no hitter. You know, it's a guy that our friend Chris Garber and I were kind of talking a little bit yesterday, and he and I agreed. Neither of us thought he would ever be a starting pitcher.
Nope.
So again, I try to own up when we make mistakes here. We're not infallible, and I never know. I thought he was going to be a center fielder before he'd be a starting pitcher. But so anyway, other news of the week, the Reds placed Jake Fraley on the injured list after waiting far too long, as they always do. We're called TJ Hopkins. And then Hunter Green is down in AAA on rehab and pitching tonight, I believe. Is that right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
But Saturday night, his first start, I think it was his first start down there. Evidently, Hunter Green threw a pitch or a handful of pitches that he's never thrown in his big league career before. It's a different type of changeup, evidently, that the tracking technology in AAA didn't characterize as a pitch that he's thrown before. So I don't know what that means, but I just thought it was interesting. Hurry back, Hunter Green, and be healthy, please.
You saw that Fraley broke his toe. Do you get the impression he might have kicked something? A little frustration, maybe?
He might have kicked Luke Weaver.
He tried to punt him over the fence.
I'm reporting that as news, by the way.
Breaking news. That's how, and unfortunately, the wrong person got hurt out of that transaction. Yeah. No, we don't want Luke Weaver to get hurt. I do not want Luke Weaver to get hurt, and I don't even want him to lose his job.
Maybe kick.
I want him to go play for a different team.
Do his job somewhere else.
Yes, that's all I want. So, guys, do you want to do some viewer mail?
Let's go.
Sure.
That didn't sound too enthusiastic. Come on, guys.
Well, I do feel like before we get there, we got to touch on one quick thing, and that is Lyon Richardson, who also like Stud Muffin. That's a handsome man. I'm going to throw that out there.
It's true.
Bit of a dubious record set in his debut. 2 home runs allowed on the first 2 pitches of the game. Not something you'll want to be remembered for. But I will say he settled down after that. Love the kid's stuff. Hope he sticks as a starter. They've been treating him with kid gloves since coming back from Tommy John. I think his floor is a lockdown reliever, though. He's got some real nasty stuff. Room for him, too.
Yeah, I kind of slow played him a little bit earlier, saying that he was the 25th best prospect in the system. But he's legit. I mean, he's got a shot to be a big leaguer. It's not
liked him enough to protect him on the 40 man before he had even come back from Tommy John surgery. So
live arm. Yeah, absolutely. So, let's do some viewer mail questions. These viewer mail questions, as always, come from our friends at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. That's patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where you two can, you know, have some fun with us. Ask some dumb questions. Now, as always, these are actual letters from actual viewers. Actual letters from actual viewers. If they weren't, could I do this? No, I couldn't do that if it weren't an actual letter. It's a letter. And so, it's a letter, and it's completely not a photograph.
He's your brother, Nate. He's your brother.
I grew up around this.
Oh, my goodness. Before we begin.
What nonsense.
Have another member of the family. Sort of. He's returning to the family. He's been with us for a long time, and we just come back now at a different level, I guess, and we're so happy to have Hunter Martin. Hunter, thank you so much for joining the family at the Riverfront. Now, as we do always, when we get a new member of the beer league family, we have to pick his position on the Riverfront beer league softball team. So Hunter Martin, Bill, I'm gonna let you make the call on this one.
Well, since you said he changed levels, has he already got a position? Are we repositioning him?
This is his first time qualifying for a position on the team.
I think he's a swing guy to play some left field and play some first base. Power hitter. Probably a lefty.
I can see that. Nate, what do you think? Are we going with that? Or
that is really close to where I was going. Kind of a Hunter Renfro type. We're going to stick with the first name. Also, Hunter Renfro, the football player, he can double as a receiver on our beer league football team.
Ooh, and I got to say,
useful.
Beer league softball is one thing. Beer league football can get a little dangerous. So we have to be careful there. So, All right, that's what we're going to do. He's double duty. Hunter, double duty Renfro on both the Beer League softball and football team. So thanks for joining us, double duty. Hunter Martin, not Hunter Renfro. First question comes from Corey Ryan. Let me tell you what I like about Corey Ryan. Can I tell you, hey guys, can I tell you what I like about Corey Ryan?
If there's something to like, tell us.
I know there's not much to like about. No, that's not true. He has two first names.
Well, he spells his first name wrong.
Both short.
My son would say he spells his first name wrong.
And our brother would say he spells his first name correctly.
Well, your brother doesn't know how to spell his name either.
I know a lady named Corey that spells it with a K, so she can tell y'all to kick rocks.
Exactly.
There we go.
Corey Ryan asks this. Got a curveball question for you. Would you rather, one, watch Luke Weaver pitch every five starts the rest of the Red season, or two, watch Moonraker every 10 days the rest of the Red season? Watch Luke Weaver pitch, or I'm sorry, Bill, we're getting into movie territory. Moonraker, James Bond movie. The worst James Bond movie. Yes. Yes.
A View to a Kill is the worst James Bond movie.
All right. He's out of here. I'm sorry. I'm kicking Bill out of this podcast. Bill's gone. All right. We'll let him come back.
But Moonraker is pretty awful. I do agree with you.
I think I'd rather watch Luke Weaver pitch. As hard as it is to say that, if you haven't watched Moonraker, go to YouTube or somewhere. Don't leave. You're on YouTube right now watching us, so don't leave until we're done. But go watch. There's a clip on there from Moonraker where something happens and a pigeon does a double take. A pigeon does it. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in any movie ever. So I'm going with Luke Weaver.
Luke Weaver too, because at least you got a chance of it being good.
That's right. Moonraker's going to be bad every time. Luke Weaver's bad almost every time.
That's right.
But the Reds do win some of those. So
that's true.
All right. Next question comes from our good friend Joey Gaditsa from the land down under. No, up north. With the recent addition of the music channel in Slack, let me just describe what that is. A couple bucks a month, you join the family and you get access to the Slack channel. Very, very active conversations in there about the Reds, obviously. And during Reds games, it's our own little personal Twitter or X or whatever. But we had different channels for everything. And I was actually at a concert this week and waiting for it to start. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? We don't have a music channel. We have one for movies. We have one for TV. We have one for football and hoops and, you know, fantasy football and just all kinds of things. So we don't have a music channel, even though Joey is our resident musician here. So we started a music channel. And Joey says, with the recent addition of that music channel, what current Red would most likely pop onto it and share their musical interests? P.S. This has been most nerve-wracking lately as a Reds fan. What current Red would most likely pop onto that channel? And when we say channel, it's a place where we discuss music. That's the topic. Which I want to say Jonathan India.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
He looks like, a rocker.
Yeah, it's the hair.
It's there. So we're going to go jump in, unless you got a different call, Nate.
Yeah, I thought too hard about this. I feel like Joey would have quite the eclectic taste in music that he would love to tell us about.
He'd have some opinions.
He'd be active in the chat. I can see our boy Graham letting us know what all the latest country hits are with a big dip of skull as he types away. But I'm here to really talk about my guy, Fernando Cruz. I want to see what he has to say. You know, someone's married to a Puerto Rican lady. You know, he could hit us with the latest Bad Bunny, the Daddy Yankee, maybe a new collaboration between Ricky Martin and Maluma down in Colombia. You know, give us that Latin groove that we all need a little more of in our lives. So Fernando Cruz is my answer.
We do need a little bit more of that in my lives. I like that. Graham Ashcraft talk about Tyler Childers or Luke Bryan. These are names that I know. What about Tyler Stevenson? Come in talking about some Chopin or something.
I bet he listens to yacht rock only.
I bet. That's right. It's all yacht rock all the time. So anyway, that's Joey. Thank you for that question, I guess. All right. So we got a couple of questions here that we're going to take together. And it's sort of a building on something Bill started to talk about a little while ago. But I think it's a good time to address this. It's a good topic. Kyle Kapler asks, not sure if you've noticed, but there is a weird love for Nick Kroll. Why is it that he is applauded for his ability to acquire minor leaguers, but not having a vote of confidence for his potential ability to acquire major leaguers? I think I'm sold on him doing the former, but I haven't seen the latter yet. Why is there a hesitancy? You would think it would go two ways. And Mike Perry asks, given Kroll's mostly inactive trade deadline, what is your level of confidence in his ability to build a contending team for 2024? I can't remember who I saw say this, but I thought a really interesting way to look at that trade deadline is Nick Kroll demonstrated a skill to us that he was able to sell off good assets and get good return. Okay. He did a really good job on that. And we've said that over and over. We're not all criticism of Nick Kroll all the time, but he told us he had flexibility, that he was going to try to improve the team. Now, maybe he was just lying and it wasn't really the case. We don't know what was out there. But isn't part of a GM's job to make the deal? These other GMs got it across the finish line. And so I don't know if it's because of what Bill was saying or he overvalues. These are his shiny baubles that he acquired, and that's his legacy. These kids, maybe he's afraid to. I don't know. But I think, yes, it's very fair, Kyle, to not be sold on him being able to, the way I put it, is always fill in the holes around the kids that you've acquired, because that's always going to have to happen. So my level of confidence in his ability to build a contending team, Mike, I think it's undecided. I don't know that he has the ability yet. He's going to show us. Nate?
Yeah, a couple thoughts. My Twitter feed is, before I started unfollowing people that annoyed me, was full of people that trust Kroll no matter what. So it's very confusing to me, but they do exist. There are people that give him his flowers for both. He's been really, really good at one aspect of these things Kyle's talking about. So we have plenty of confidence in his ability to do that. The other one we just have essentially zero evidence of. So as for Mike's question, my level of confidence, after this deadline, it's running pretty low. There wasn't a single deal that was made that I personally thought included too much prospect capital. Kroll didn't make any of them. So, I mean, I really, really hope the offseason rolls around and he makes the requisite move to fill those holes. But until then, my confidence is low. And another problem is that we haven't been told what the plan is. We are told that there is a plan, but we don't know what that is. If he came out and said, hey, we got our farm system in a place where we're happy with, but it's not where we need it to be to continue this run for the longest possible time. My plan is to spend one more cycle of strengthening the farm system, and then we're going to go. Then maybe I would have a little more confidence, but this unknown is problematic.
Yeah, my fear is that it's, let's try to get as many good prospects as we can, and then we will trade them off for a new haul in a few years, and never that other step of filling in the roster. And you may think that I'm being doom and gloom about that, but what have we seen since the Castellanos took over? Exactly that. Bill, your thoughts on Kroll?
Well, this kind of reminds me about a number of years ago when they did the when they had the crown jewels and they didn't want to trade any of the crown jewels, and that's what this gave me the feeling of. I don't think there's any doubt there are holes that they're going to have to go out and fill in the offseason. They don't have the right guys in the system to fill the holes that they have. I mean, and
yeah,
you know, whether he has the ability to go out and get the free agents that we need or make deals that we need to do, and whether he's willing to, you know, to put the correct value on these guys in the minor leagues to bring in the players and trades that we're talking about, we'll just have to see. But I'm like Chad. The Reds have not, this ownership group has not shown the ability to stick to a plan ever. So, you know, why should we believe now that they're going to stick to a plan? And they were real happy when this team was playing well to be out there taking bows, you know, saying what they were going to do. And, you know, how we're going to make deals and we're going to be at the deadline, we're going to be a player. And none of that came true. You know, and now when they're struggling a little bit, you don't see Nick Kroll out in front of as many TV cameras, you know, and explaining why he didn't make deals.
You know, I'm open to being wrong, and I hope I am wrong. I'll say that. Like, Give me all the crow. I'll eat every bit of it. But show me first.
Yeah. Well, that's just, you know, again, I'm not going to criticize any fan that thinks Nick Kroll is the greatest of all time. And there are those out there, although I haven't been on Twitter in over a week now. So I wouldn't, I'm not seeing those, thankfully. But, and he very well may be. I don't think there's any evidence at all to show that yet. There's evidence to show he may be better than some of us thought he was. But I guess I just keep coming back to this ownership group. When it gets time to hit that last step in a plan and really put together a team, you know, maybe you can say in 2012 they did that, but that's about the only time. And since then, that's over a decade ago. Anytime they got close to a team, it's just let's abandon the plan at the point where it's time to start filling in holes around others. So whatever. I hope he does. I hope he's great at it. But I don't know. We'll see. Next question comes from our friend Rex Scott. That's a good name, by the way. Also, two first names. I appreciate Tim Daniel, two first names. I love it. Tim Daniel, of course, the host of the of Late Night Reds here at the Riverfront every Sunday night live show. I appreciate Tim Daniels saying in his last podcast that he is ready to move on from anger about inaction by the front office before the trade deadline. With that thought in mind, please speak to what you see from the roster we have that gives you hope for making the playoffs, including possible call-ups from the minors and returns from injuries. Which players are most likely to shine offensively or on the mound? I don't know if I can give you – I mean, it's the same group we've been watching all year. I guess the hope that some of the – that Hunter Green and Nick Lodola will come back and TJ Antone will be, you know, at least some shadow of what he was at his best. It's hoping that and hoping that the kids get back on track, and I think they will.
Indian Fraley.
That's a good one. We'll talk about that.
Well, you know, hope they come back from injury, and pick up where they were during the hot streak. Chad keeps jumping out and jumping back in here, so he can change his hat.
If you're watching on YouTube, you notice I only hop out while Bill's talking.
That's because I hold everybody's attention. They don't notice you're gone.
Exactly.
Because the absence of India, I'm not saying that's why they haven't played well, but when India had to step out, you started seeing a lot more of Newman. And as much as India was struggling for a period of time, I don't want to see Newman over India.
Yeah, it's Newman and Fairchild,
right?
Instead of Fraley or India, and right. So that's a pretty big drop off. Yeah,
yeah. And so hopefully we get those two guys back, and that helps the offense some. I'll be honest, I don't like the way the batting order's been lately either. But that doesn't have anything to do with injuries. That just has to do with David Bell's decision making, which is I don't understand.
Agreed. What hope do you have, Nate? What do you see from this roster? Gives you some hope for making the playoffs to go to Rick's
First off, my guy Jose Barrero down in Louisville just raking. Got that OPS up to about 930, another home run last night. So obviously, he's going to come up and dominate. Other than that, 100% true fact. Yeah, I don't see a lot of other help in the minors, except maybe we get a Connor Phillips appearance, even though he just got roughed up a little bit yesterday. They need Hunter to be a stud. They need Hunter to come back and be what he was before he got injured. Get a little bump from Nick Lodolo, even if it's out of the pen for a stretch run. But for me, mostly, they just need to settle in somewhere between the highs of June and the lows of early August. If they can just be a decent baseball club the rest of the way, then they're going to be in the thick of things.
Oh. Seth Shaner.
Jose Barrero, come on.
That was a painful sigh there. I mean, are you okay, Chad?
Get him back on Twitter.
Jose Barrero. I love the guy. I wish he were better. He is playing better at AAA, but
if they bring him up, where would he play?
Well, obviously, he played Ellie De La Cruz's position because Ellie needs to be sent back down. I've heard that's that on right. live.
That's, I was, that's the word on the street.
I was thinking about this the other day. We keep getting heavy doses of Stuart Fairchild, and no, you know, no shade going Stu's way. He's perfectly serviceable as the last man on your roster. But excuse me, we get all this heavy doses of Kevin Newman, especially now that Jonathan Indy is out. We have the best prospect in the system in AAA hitting well in Noel V. Marte. I understand that he needs some more seasoning down there, or if that's true. But why can't you bring him up for a couple weeks while dudes are injured? The Braves did it last year with Vaughn Grissom. I don't think he's even sniffed the majors this year. Just come up, fill the hole for a little while. You don't mess with their service time if that's what you're worried about. But he's a better hitter than Kevin Newman any day of the week. So I don't know. A lot of tomfoolery down there that annoys me.
Yeah, and that's sort of a traditional thing we've seen from the Reds is they will – I don't ever remember them bringing up somebody until they thought he was ready to stay forever. And that's just been the thing they do. But I agree. What's the harm giving him a taste? Giving Marte a taste. And certainly can't be worse than – well, Kevin Newman and Stuart Fairchild are trying hard. Yes, Nate used the word tomfoolery. We want everyone to note that. Tomfoolery.
That's how it's next, spelled. He's gonna, that's how it's spelled in case you need to know.
Yeah, he's going to talk about shenanigans next. Seth Shaner, to quote Nancy Kerrigan, and first of all, let me just say this. Seth, I love you, but I'm sick of all your questions about Nancy Kerrigan. Every week you ask about Nancy Kerrigan. I'm not going to answer any questions about
this
Nancy Kerrigan again.
This is not an ice skating show.
Seth, come on. No, this is the first Nancy Kerrigan question we ever got. To quote Nancy Kerrigan, why? I want to be so encouraged by Graham Ashcraft's performance yesterday, but the end result is a huge disappointment. And here's the big question. Will these Reds turn things around? He's talking, about a great start by Ashcraft ruined by the bullpen. And will these Reds turn things around? The answer is no. They're not gonna turn around. They're probably going to lose every game the rest of the way.
Fired.
That's it. Now, will they turn things around to be the team that won 12 straight games? Let's not count on that. Team's never as good as they are at their best, never as bad as they are at their worst. Are they going to play better than they're playing right now? Yes, absolutely. So it depends on what you mean by turn things around, but they are not going to lose seven out of every eight games the rest of the way like they have here recently. Nate?
First off, is that the first Nancy Kerrigan reference on this podcast? Almost 500 episodes in?
Not the last.
So if it was, then what are we doing wrong around here? I used to have the biggest crush on Nancy Kerrigan. She's a pretty lady. I love
why?
Champions.
But this it's not the first Tanya Harding reference, though.
I believe
true,
that.
True. Every other week.
Seth, I'm saying that they will turn it around. They're nursing some hangovers today. Went out, you know, did a little team building last night. Hit the sauce. This is my theory. There's no evidence. Nobody's reporting this. But they're going to be bringing the juice to Pittsburgh tomorrow. And I'm thinking, like my guy John Shaughnessy said, maybe they could just sign Amir Garrett real quick, bring him in for the series, get a little brawl to light a fire in these guys. That's what I'm ready. There's going to be a fight this weekend. It's going to turn the whole season around. Big winning streak. There's going to be a montage with Runaround Sue playing in the background. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
You get Brandon Phillips back to instigate something like in 2010.
Today is the anniversary of the brawl with the Cardinals.
There you go. Bill Lack bringing the facts. First time he's ever actually used actual facts.
I think it was the today's date in 2010.
2010, yeah. I remember where I was.
I was at Hilton at the time.
I was in Virginia Beach at a conference.
I was at the game.
Really?
Yep.
How did I forget that?
Me and shout out to Clay Christian, our TikTok guy. He we saw the whole thing.
The bat tap and the
Riverfront Cincy is on TikTok, by the way. At Riverfront Cincy. We're on TikTok, I'm told.
Allegedly. Clay could just be telling us that he's doing it. We have no idea.
Clay tells us that, but I can't say that I've ever actually
gonna
seen
be go to gonna come to the game, go to the Riverfront, hang at the live show. So
is it in Chinese? Our TikTok, is it in Chinese?
Who knows? Probably.
It translates automatically.
Just wonder.
The Bengals show is also on TikTok. Getting some good traction there, evidently. I don't know. The kids like
it. I had a great time the night I was invited and I spent on the Bengals show. That was a great evening. That was a lot of fun.
It was a good episode.
Yeah, well, we've initiated proceedings to fire whoever invited you on that show, but I'm glad you had a good time, Bill.
Joe, run, Joe, run.
Michael Petrie, to quote Nancy Kerrigan, no, wait a minute, that's not right. Michael Petrie, is this the best overall rookie class in Reds history?
That's on y'all.
How can it even be close? Is my question.
Yeah, it's the best I can think of. I mean, I can't think of one that's even close. I mean, 1970, they had Al McRae and Bernie Carbo and Wayne Simpson.
Yeah. You know, in like what, 64, 66, 68, they had rookies of the year, so they were coming steadily.
Yeah.
And then 70. So, yeah, it was more spaced out. I don't know. I guess there have to have been other teams that have had a similar, you know, experience like this, but I don't know of any Reds team. You know, like
how many true rookies are on this team?
Well, there's at least seven that are contributing,
right?
Ellie De La Cruz, Matt McClain, Andrew Abbott, Will Benson. No,
I thought Benson wasn't classified as a rookie.
Yeah,
Benson. He is a rookie.
No, I thought he was not.
He is.
Well Chaz, yeah, the host. 100%. So we're going to go with him.
All right.
Spencer
no,
Steer.
No, he is. Spencer Steer.
Steer.
How many is that?
CES.
Yeah. Encarnacion Strand.
Brandon Williamson. Kevin Newman.
No, Brandon Williamson.
Williamson.
No, Benson just got a cup of coffee last year late in the season with the Indians, but didn't get enough at bats to qualify.
I thought I heard Sadak say one night on the broadcast that he wasn't. So,
Bill, I know you're just trying to argue with me.
Blame it on Sadak.
We'll blame it on Sadak. go to Baseball Reference and then go to Twitter, because I'm not on Twitter anymore. So you can say whatever you want and tell us who is wrong. You can direct those to at William E. Lack.
I am not saying I'm correct. I'm just saying what I heard.
Wrong.
You know me, Chad. I'm not always right, but I'm always sure.
No, you're always confident in your answers. Absolutely. Jordan Biddle. Jordan Biddle asks this question. What is the amount of games the Reds have to be back of a playoff spot to call this year a rebuilding season? Let me read that again so that I can understand the question. I'm not sure I understand it. What is the amount of games the Reds have to be back of a playoff spot to call this year a rebuilding season? Personally, I think if the Reds can stay within five games by the time Greenville and Dodo come back, we will make the playoffs. Oh, interesting. So what does that mean to call it a rebuilding season? I think that's what the management wants to call it. That's what management wants us to buy so that they can be excused from not going for it at the trade deadline. It was supposed to be a quote-unquote rebuilding season. That narrative changed once the kids were so good so early. So
yeah, I guess that's kind of what he's asking. He's saying, how many games back do they have to be in a playoff spot before the management can be like, see, told you this wasn't our year.
Ah, I get it. They're gonna say that either way.
At the end of the season,
they're gonna say that anyway.
I kind of latched on to the latter part of Jordan's question here. He thinks if they can stay within five games by the time Green and Lodolo come back, they'll make the playoffs. Five's a lot. I mean, it's not impossible.
In a month.
So, yeah, Hunter Green, especially back on the 20th, we don't know when Lodolo is going to come back. They keep saying pretty vague timelines for him. But if Hunter's back on August 20th, that would leave 37 games to make up whatever ground. As the standings are today, only six of those games are against teams tied or above the Reds, which is not great. Less control, I guess. But I think I would like to see them stay within three games of that last wild card spot. If they can stay right there, then you know I think they're just kind of right in the thick of things. And any further than that, I get a little bit worried about the vibes.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I think we're putting it's all this hope is not a strategy, but we're putting an awful lot of emphasis on Hunter Green coming back, and we don't know that Hunter Green was good. If you go back and look at his numbers for his season so far, he was really good. Everyone thought he was struggling, but his numbers were really good. So if he comes back pitching like that, wonderful. But he's a kid again, can't be guaranteed. What do you think, Bill?
I agree with both of what you're saying. Five games is a lot to make up in 6 weeks. The only thing is, we aren't playing Milwaukee, but Milwaukee has struggled playing everybody but us. We're the only team that they can beat consistently. So yeah, that could play in our favor. But, you know, who knows what I don't know what our schedule – I don't know how many games we got left with the stupid Cubs. Three,
yeah.
And, you know, and they're playing very well right now. I don't know. Whatever's going to happen, man. But I agree with you, Chad. Everybody, and I've done it too, to put a lot of pressure on Hunter Green, not only coming back, but coming back and being really effective. You know, and no rust, no, you know, coming out and being Hunter Green. And that's a lot to ask a kid if he hadn't pitched in a competitive game in 3 months.
And they need guys to throw 6, 7, 8 innings. And you definitely can't trust somebody to come back and do that if they've been injured for a month and a half.
Yeah, so
bullpen is crushed.
Yeah, Hunter Green's OPS plus is 119 for those that think he hasn't pitched well this year.
He's a good hitter, too.
He's evidently a good hitter. That's a pretty good OPS plus.
Yeah, his
advanced. ERA plus. Sorry, Bill. We had a
poor catch. That's all right.
His advanced stuff is shocking.
Well, speaking of OPS plus, though, that's something I meant to mention earlier, and it just reminded me, so I'm going to use it as a non sequitur here. Ella De La Cruz, for all his struggles, he's still a roughly league average hitter by OPS plus. He's a little above 102 right now. So, even with all the struggles we've seen, this is basically his floor, a league average hitter.
I agree.
Plus a great fielder. Great arm, great base runner. Sky's great IQ. Sky's the limit. I'm going to have to politely disagree with your nephew, Bill.
Me too.
Jonathan Andrews. Jonathan says, I'm pretty staunch in my view that Ellie. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Which Ellie is he talking about?
Ellie May,
Clampett, needs to be removed from leadoff. And by the way, thank you, Bill, for bringing the always timely Beverly Hillbillies references.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm pretty staunch in my view that Ellie needs to be removed from leadoff and put at the bottom of the order so he can play out of his head, quote unquote, once again, and learn pitching. Friedel is my leadoff guy, and Matty McClain is my shortstop every time. The question I have revolves around David Bell's insistence on running Newman, Fairchild, and Senzel out there against lefties. What are your thoughts on having Benson and potentially Fraley, when they get cleared of injury, go against righties and lefties? If nothing else, this would relieve the sickness in the pit of my stomach whenever I see those three in the lineup. I get you, buddy. I get you. Bill, you want to talk about that one?
Well, I don't want Ellie pitching, so I don't want him having to learn pitching. I don't want him pitching.
I think I'm not sure that's exactly what he meant by that.
Oh, that's not what he meant. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I think Bell's done the right thing with Fraley only playing against right-handers. I don't want to see Fraley against left-handers. I do question whether Benson could be more effective playing against both. He hasn't really been given much of a chance to show whether he can or can't. As much as I badmouth Newman and to a lesser extent Senzel, they've hit left-handed pitching pretty well. But the problem is Bell tends to leave them in there and lets them face right, especially Newman facing right-handers, and he's just overmatched. And if you're gonna platoon, and if you're gonna, you know, and you've heard me say this a million times with his little league mentality that everybody's got to play, you got to get him out of there when you get a right-hander in there. So that's my
yeah.
That's
no,
my...
I guess I would say with Fraley specifically, I don't have any interest in seeing him against lefties because at this point we sort of know who Fraley is, and the reason his numbers look so good is because David Bell's kind of protected him and just pitched him against the pitchers that he can hit. Yep. Now Will Benson's younger. I would like to see Will Benson get more opportunities, just to see what he can do. To see why not now. But as for Ellie's spot in the order, I don't know. Moving him to leadoff. First of all, he was struggling a little bit before he got moved to leadoff. It was sort of discussed that might have been David Bell trying to switch things up for him. I have no problem with him at leadoff in general. I don't have any problem with TJ Friedel at leadoff. I mean, you know, TJ Friedel, 347 on base percentage. But
I'd like to see him every day in center field. I think he should be the Reds center fielder every day.
I don't know. I think he's starting to get exposed a little bit, I fear. But I wouldn't have a problem with it. I like.
But I don't think they've got a better option.
No, he's hit both sides of the, you know, lifts and righties well. Mm-hmm. He's been heating up a lot lately too. So he did have a cold spell for a bit. I looked up a few stats here. Kevin Newman's numbers against lefties are super front loaded. He's been a below average hitter against lefties since June 1st. So over 2 months now. So let's go ahead and just bury that, because that's nonsense. If he's not, can't do it against lefties, why is he in there against righties at the end of the game? It doesn't make any sense. Nixon Zale has still been hammering lefties, so keep that going. Benson and Fraley do get tough. Their numbers have been bad. Benson's numbers against lefties are brutal in an incredibly small sample size.
That's what I was going to ask. Yes.
That's what I was going to ask. How many plate appearances are we talking about?
I think you have to give Benson a look, because if he can be a league average or better hitter against lefties, then he's a dude. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that is an anchor of your outfield until 2029, which is when I think they lose team control over him. But yeah, if it means never seeing Kevin Newman or Nixon Zale in a late game situation against a righty reliever ever again, sign me up. Do whatever it takes. And one last thing, for all the morons who wanted to bench Joseph Daniel Votto against lefties, he has a 128 weighted runs created plus against lefties this year. So
go. Not bad.
Ground yourself.
two things quickly. Who would play center field instead of Friedel? Will Benson can play center field. Will Benson played center field this spring. He's very good defensively. He's athletic. But I'm with you. I'm okay.
They're both left-handed hitters, so you know you're not gaining anything there.
Yeah, well, you know, TJ Friedel is TJ Friedel. Will Benson may be somebody, but I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with Jonathan's suggestion of Friedel at leadoff and moving Ellie somewhere. I'm fine with all that. Ellie's going to be in the middle of the lineup for most of his career. He's going to be your number three hitter for most of his career. So where he's hitting right now, I don't have a whole lot of heartburn about, and I think it might be a good idea to drop him in the order a little bit.
That's a pretty bold take by Chad, thinking that David Bell's going to put Ellie third ahead of Jonathan India.
That's a good point. How dare I? I will quibble with one thing you say there, Jonathan, and you know I love you. This is all in, out of love, but Matt McClain is my shortstop every time, he says. Not a chance. And I love Matt McClain. Matt McClain's my second baseman long term. Ellie De La Cruz is my shortstop he shows me something different. I want the more athletic guy. Not that McClain is not athletic. McClain is crazy athletic. But, you know, it's like comparing his athleticism to Ellie De La Cruz's is kind of the fallback I always go to is what Sparky Anderson said when the Yankees writers were trying to compare Thurman Munson, their catcher, to Johnny Bench. And he's like, don't embarrass that young man by comparing him to John Bench. You know, he's a perfectly good player. Let's not embarrass him by comparing him to the greatest of all time. So, all right, one last question. And it comes from Rich Thompson. As always, Rich puts a lot of thought into these. And it's usually with Rich, as you know, if you've been a longtime viewer, a multiple choice question. Okay, gentlemen, which of the following scenarios would make you more nervous? A, being called into your boss's office without a reason given. B, getting a letter from the IRS. C, going to court for a traffic violation where the presiding judge is a descendant of either the legendary judges Bean or Parker. Or D, learning that Luke Weaver will be starting for the Reds in a future key series where playoff implications are on the line. Second multiple choice question involving watching Luke Weaver pitch. I'll just note that. Which it would make you more nervous? Nate, I'm going to let you tackle this one first.
Man, it is a toss-up between watching Luke Weaver pitch and the IRS, which is just saying that Luke Weaver is as nerve-wracking as the most nerve-wracking government agency, and he's pitching every fifth day for a serious baseball team. Son of a bill.
C-O-R-E-Y.
Well, going down the list here, I don't have a boss, so A is not valid. My son works for the IRS, so that eliminates number two. So it's down to C and D for me, and I, you know, I'm old, so I don't drive fast enough to get any kind of traffic tickets. So I don't have to worry about that one either. So I guess it's a Luke Weaver. No, seriously, it would be the Luke Weaver thing. Let's say going into last week of the season, and you know, the Reds have to win a game on Saturday night, and it's Weaver's turn to pitch. That would make you throw up in your mouth a little bit.
It would. Indeed. It just did, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
Yeah, it's clearly Weaver for me. Yeah, boss, whatever. I am the boss. IRS, I agree, not good. Now, I will say, I wouldn't mind going to Judge Bean's court because there's a horrible movie. It's just a terrible movie. But Judge Bean in the movie, and I think it was called Judge Roy Bean.
The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. Paul Newman.
Just not a good movie. But Paul Newman played Roy Bean.
Judge Roy Bean.
I'd like to go see Paul Newman.
Lily Langtry,
that's right, yeah. Law is the handmaiden of justice, according to Judge Roy Bean. There you go. That's your law school quiz for the day. Nate, what else is happening around the riverfront?
I don't know if you heard about this live show that's happening on Saturday, September 9th. Everybody, please come hang out with us. That's going to be a good time. I can't wait to meet a lot of these people face-to-face. It's going to be a blast. I will probably have a few beers. So you're probably going to be entertained by my antics. I'm going to be drinking with Bill at the bar. If we leave the game early, you know where to find us. Other than that, big things happening. NFL season's right around the corner. So Joe and Greg are having a blast over there at the Riverfront Bengals show. We got a lot of new merch in the shop. So go check that stuff out. Tim crushing it at Late Night Reds. I'm still reeling after that interview with Jumbo Diaz. Legendary. And yeah, we got some more exciting things on the way with some college sports coming into the fold soon. So big announcements there to be on the lookout for.
Yeah, exciting times to be here around the riverfront. Thank you for that, Nate. And as always, good talking to you again. Bill, great seeing you again, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to and supporting the Riverfront. Please tell your friends about us. If you like us, talk about us. If you don't like us, just keep your mouth shut. Please remember to subscribe to the show either on YouTube or in your favorite podcast app. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and now TikTok, evidently, at Riverfront Cincy on all those platforms. That's at Riverfront Cincy. And then, once again, huge thank you to our supporters at patreon.com/Riverfront Cincy. Thank you, guys. Shout out to Adam Dunn. Shouts to Lisa Alberto, Wayne Krinchicki, and Eli Cash. For Nate Dotson, for Bill Lack, and for Ray Almedo, this is Chad Dotson saying, so long, everyone.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.